How are you wonderful people doing? My name is Michael Rizzonis, Third Gen Gamer, and welcome in to the Third Gen Cast. Okay, this may be a new episode to you, but it may not be a new episode for me, because I just got done doing take number one, and I realized I never turned on my audio interface, which means I had no commentary. So, that's pretty bad for a podcast, and I mean, if you want to watch the video, literally you just see my mouth moving and maybe you might be able to get the words out of my mouth maybe by looking at them, but you wouldn't be able to hear it. So, after loading it into Premiere, I noticed and then I was big sad. So, it's all right. We get a nice polished second take of the Third Gen Cast analysis of the Pokemon Presents that released today, which actually will be yesterday for you guys, because I'm recording this about, 10 hours after, almost 11 hours, that the last time when I actually, watched it. I actually did a little bit of I have a little list here of things that I want to talk about. Good thing I have those. And I actually almost didn't save them and almost closed them. I was like, I'll minimize it just in case. And I'm glad that I did. I just had to type this whole freaking thing out again with all the topics and the bullet points I wanted to talk about, because there's a lot to talk about with this presentation. And I don't know, man. I'm just glad that at least with things going around, I did not delete the document with all my stuff on it. So, okay. Before we get started, I just want to say that I did do a live stream, so if you want to go check it out, it is not on YouTube because for some reason it got copyright claimed and content ID claimed, and then it got blocked worldwide, and it wasn't even from Nintendo or Pokemon. It was some random music artist that copyrighted the countdown timer of the premiere that happened, like the little countdown thing before the actual premiere starts for the Pokemon event. They somehow claimed it. So anyways, it's gone. I disputed it. I guess I could have trimmed it out and then reposted it, but I ended up disputing it and didn't think of it. So it depends on how long it'll actually take before it actually come back. So it could be tomorrow or it could be 30 days from now. And if this company or this music artist and this music company said, hey, we own this still, I don't know what I'm going to do. It'll be blocked worldwide. However, I did upload a video version of my reaction from the beginning of the Pokemon Presents to all the way at the end, where I actually did an analysis. We actually, after we watched the whole thing, we went through little by little and tried to grab some other information we can get out of the new games that were announced for this event. And yeah, that's uploaded. So at least I have that. It's not gone completely. So definitely go check it out. And yeah, anyways, we're going to hop into this. So at the very start, when we turn on the Pokemon Presents, they have like this whole little presentation thing where it starts like, oh, this is 1996. They had Pokemon Red, Blue, and then, or it was Red and Green. And then later on it said Blue and Yellow. And then it like went through every single generation throughout the years, including all the accessories, the merchandise, the games, the spinoffs, the little gaming devices, Pokewalkers, all that stuff. It went through every generation era of all the Pokemon things that have been around in the last 25 years. And it's honestly crazy. I mean, it's insane how much there actually is that's Pokemon related. Nintendo made bank off of Pokemon. And it's honestly insane. Like from the very beginning to the end, they've had so many products. Pokemon's easily their most profitable franchise. And it was fun going through since the very beginning all the way to the end just to see like, oh, I went through this. I did this. I did this. I did this. I did that. Just all these other things that you play, like you play the spinoff games, the accessories, Pokewalker. I have those somewhere. I don't know where they are, but it was cool to see those in there. Pokemon Go, it's like, oh, that era. Then we're like Sun and Moon. Oh, no, get that off the screen. Although there's some people like Sun and Moon. I just don't like it. And then it goes eventually to Sword and Shield. And then it's like it just gradually goes through everything. And it's actually pretty neat because there's also something that was never released in the U.S. that I knew of that it was. If for Pokemon Crystal, they had like a connector for your Game Boy Color to your cell phone. And then you could use the cell phone to do some online games or just certain things that you can't do in the US versions, but it was in Japan. It was really cool that they actually had that in there because it was like, oh, that if people didn't know what that was, they'd be like, okay, what the heck was that? Like, I mean, no, people in the U.S. don't typically know what it was, but like if you went to Goldenrod City in the Japanese Pokemon Crystal game, you could connect your phone to your Game Boy and you were able to do some extra stuff with it, which was, you know, pretty cool. But yeah, I went through all that stuff. It's crazy how much Pokemon has evolved. And I'm going to say that they're going to evolve much more past this. So it's pretty exciting. So when in this Direct, I expected Pokemon Snap, Pokemon Diamond and Pearl Remakes, or at least I wanted it. And then also I thought there would be a spinoff game of some sort. That was essentially what I was expecting. Maybe some Pokemon trading card game stuff, though they actually did have trading card game stuff throughout the very beginning segment, but nothing new. Like, oh, look, Shining Fates is restocked or something great like that. But no, they don't have that. They don't have those announcements for anything like that. But let's just say I was pretty darn accurate with my predictions. And oh my gosh, look at this. I'm a professional leaker now. No, I'm kidding. I was just making educated decisions and I kind of got predictions and I got very lucky. So yeah, there's that. But the first game they showed off was Pokemon Snap. I expected more gameplay of Pokemon Snap as that's coming up. April 30th will be when it's coming out. They show more gameplay, more scenes, more Pokemon, just like all these different things. They also show like your, I don't know, they're like people that help you throughout the game. I don't know how, to the extent how they help you, but they introduced a new gameplay mechanic, which was the Illumina orbs. So you could throw these orbs at Pokemon and then you get like some very interesting shots with them with your camera, which they, it looks like they got rid of, what was it, Pester Balls or Pesker Balls? I don't know what they're called, but yeah, they have these instead. And it's like it, like, for example, if you threw it at a Scorbunny, it would like shoot fire flames when it's kicking or something. I don't know what exactly, I don't remember exactly what it was. But like they had different effects that you could take pictures for and get graded for, which let's go into the grading. They show all the criterias, which there's more in this game than in Pokemon Snap. Pose, which that was in the old game. Size of the Pokemon, which, or at least the picture. And the direction, it didn't have that in the old games. Placement, I'm assuming that's kind of like, oh, in the original Snap. Oh, the Pokemon is not in the center. You don't get a bonus for this. No, it's probably something along the lines of that. Like, if it's in the center or in a certain spot, you get bonus points. If there's other Pokemon around them, I believe that was in Pokemon Snap. But I don't know if it had to be the same Pokemon. I don't quite remember. But it had to be other Pokemon around them. You get get extra points for that. And then also for the background. And then also they had little photo slots, like multiples for each Pokemon. And then they are looking for specific poses or certain movements that you could take pictures of. And then they have different ratings based on that as well. I thought that was rather interesting. And what else? Oh, photo editing. Yeah, so literally the photo editing application in Pokemon Snap is better than anything Microsoft Windows gives you, which is actually pretty interesting. Not like you can just load photos in and edit stuff like it's Photoshop, but you take photos in the game, you can change, like, you can put blur, like a blur in the background, you can change the angle, you can change, like, various things, put stickers on the photo, and then they have, like, this social media thing? It's like, you upload your photos to it, and then it can get rated by the world population that plays this game, and it's actually pretty cool. You have to have, obviously, Nintendo Online to do that, but it seems really cool. It's something that would really get people to play this game a lot more. It's like, oh, I can get this photo, get a good shot, upload it, and get tons of ratings for my photos. And it's a really cool concept, and I'm curious to see how well it works as far as, like, how many people actually go on, submit photos, like the photo, whatever. I don't think you can place comments. I think it's just likes. But they showed, like, on the screen, tons of photos and had, different like counts, stuff like that. And it looked really fun. I'm looking forward to new Pokemon Snap. And yeah, it's coming out April 30th. Okay, so that's it for Pokemon Snap. Now it is time for the next game. Pokemon Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl. We are indeed getting Diamond and Pearl remakes. The names could have been a little better, but that is okay. That's fine. The name, it doesn't matter. As long as the game's fun and it's competitive, it's all good. And also, it's not Let's Go. That's another criteria. And guess what? Good news, everyone. It is not Let's Go, which means you do not. We can actually fight wild Pokemon, catch them. We'll have natures. I'm assuming we'll have natures. We'll have abilities. We'll have everything that we would want. IVs, EVs, all that stuff. So then that means that we could have actually competitive Pokemon. And it's actually really exciting. I'm glad it's not Let's Go, because I saw rumors online that there was a reproduction starting for the Pokeball Plus, which, you know, is right over there. And I mean, it's a great device, but I was worried. I was like, oh my gosh, please no, don't do it. Don't do it. No, 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 Let's Go. And it ended up not being Let's Go. Thank goodness. But let's actually talk about the graphics. So the graphics are kind of like the original game, except they have updated textures, obviously in HD. It's that 2.5D style, like in Diamond and Pearl. It reminds me of Link's Awakening, just how it all looks, how it's laid out. Like, for example, the trees, the water, the grass, just everything. It kind of looks like Link's Awakening in so many different places. And that's obviously the one for the Switch that, you know, is, you know, a remake that, you know, looks good. And it kind of reminds me a little bit of Animal Crossing too, because the actual people in the game are chibi, which are kind of like those little, it's like the little animated characters. Like they look little mini ones. As they look like that in the overworld, but then when you go into battle, they look normal. It's just it's a graphic style. I know a lot of people were expecting Sword and Shield graphics. I mean, there are a lot of people complaining like, hey, I want Sword and Shield graphics. Why did we not get that? We got this instead. I'd rather want this. This is not Switch graphics. This is like this graphics. And to my response to that, a lot of people that are complaining about this were people that did not like the Sword and Shield graphics. They were the ones that were complaining about the trees in the wild area. Yeah, they didn't look good, but honestly, it didn't matter. And now they're like, you know what? We want those graphics for Diamond and Pearl. I don't know. Maybe it might not be the same exact people, but it just seems to be that way. Because it seems like the people, there's a lot of people that actually do like the remakes, at least what they saw. But it seems like there's a lot of people that are kind of in the minority that are just more vocal about it. So it just seems like there's a lot of people that are hating on these new games. But for me, as long as the games operate and play like they should and it's not Let's Go, I'm going to be happy. I'm going to be happy to go back to Sinnoh in HD on the Switch. Yeah, I mean, when I first saw it, I mean, I was excited to see it. Like the game in general, but the graphics, I was like, yeah, whatever. But it kind of grew on to me as I was watching through the trailer. It does look good. And I'll tell you right now, it's definitely going to age better down the line than Sword and Shield will. Because it's not that true 3D format, it seems like, I mean, the games are, you know, it's less demanding when it's more of this 2.5D look. And also that means they can put more textures and more details into the game that the Switch probably wouldn't be able to render out, because the Switch is not that powerful a console. I mean, it is a powerful handheld, but it's not good as a home console. And there's only so much that they can do with this Switch. It's a good console. I love the Switch, but I'll tell you right now, I mean, the graphics, I mean, it's good for what it is, but it's not like the most powerful thing in the world. And naturally, if the game wasn't going to look good in the Sword and Shield style, I'd rather have it be the 2.5D look and just have it look better down the line. Because, I mean, if you really think about it, a lot of the older titles that were not 3D, it seems like they haven't aged poorly. Like they still hold up well to this day. I would say probably from Gen 3 onwards, that would be the case. Probably at least up to Gen 4. Some in Gen 5, but that's when they started getting to the more of the 3D rendering stuff. So that was kind of a little bit iffy. I mean, they really pushed the limits of the DS, and it was quite impressive what they did with Black and White. And I mean, a lot of areas in that game look good. But yeah, when it gets to the cutscenes with the Reshiram and the Zekrom, it's all pixely. It's like, you know, I mean, it was impressive at the time for what it could do, but it doesn't hold up well. And that's what I feel like Sword and Shield will be in probably 5 to 10 years, while this game will probably not look that dated. I mean, it kind of holds that same look as some of those older games are, and that tends to be looking much better. I mean, if you take a look, there's some other Switch games that are like this 2.5D style that really look good, and I feel like they will hold up. I guess I can't think of the names. Was it Bravely Default? Was that one? I don't know. I don't really play a whole lot of these games on the Switch that are like those RPGs that are 2.5D. But when I see gameplay, I say, you know what? These games actually, you know, look good for what they are, and they will hold up. So like, let's say for the 3D thing, Let's compare Mario Odyssey to Mario 64. Of course, Mario 64 is an iconic game. It's still holds up very well to this day as far as mechanics and just as a platformer. The camera didn't hold up well, but as far as the actual textures, you can compare Nintendo 64 to Mario Odyssey, or that you could tell there's a drastic difference, and the graphics of Mario 64 really don't hold up well. And it's a 3D title, and it's going to be like that as the more games get more complex. And I mean, I guess it really doesn't ultimately matter if you enjoy the game. It doesn't matter what the graphics are like, but I'm just pointing out that I feel like this will hold up much better than Sword and Shield will, because maybe down the lines there's a new console that has higher capabilities. It'll put Sword and Shield to shame. So, I mean, at least with this game, I feel like it'll hold up better. Who knows if there's actually going to be a distortion world, because it's Diamond and Pearl. It's not Platinum, so that's not normally in the storyline. Maybe they'll do like a Delta episode or something similar. And then what else? Maybe they could do an Arceus thing. Maybe, I don't know. We'll see. We'll come back to Arceus, though. But this game, Brilliant Diamond Shining Pearl, will be releasing at the end of 2021. So that is very exciting. I'm looking forward to it. But anyways, I set out to come back to Arceus because after this, I was like, okay, this is great. I'm like, okay, a spinoff game coming up next. That'd be pretty good. Of course, Pokemon Legends Arceus trailer comes out and it blew my mind. As far as the graphics are concerned, I'm like, it definitely has a lot of work in that department. I mean, once again, Switch, I'm sure Game Freak, I mean, they don't really have a good history with 3D games, so they need to optimize better. But the idea, the concept of an open world Pokemon game, that's pretty cool. So essentially, the premise is supposed to be before Diamond and Pearl. It's like a prequel, I guess, as you could call that. And it's kind of like as Sinnoh was forming, and also your quest is to like create the Pokedex, and to do that you need to catch all the Pokemon that you can find in each area. And it's a really cool idea. I think it's fun. Hopefully that they expand on it further. They didn't really say a whole lot about the story. Obviously it should be about Arceus because that's the name of the game, but it'll be coming out at the beginning of 2022. So the time window between the Diamond Pearl remakes and this new game is rather interesting, to say the least. I mean, it's like maybe a couple months apart, which is really cool. And I don't think they've ever had something like that. But to be fair, the Diamond and Pearl remakes are not actually made by Game Freak. They actually outsourced it to, what was it, ILCA? I guess it's the company that made Pokemon Home. And it's supposedly, I guess I don't know much about them other than they made Pokemon Home, or at least some people told me that during the Direct or the Presents, whatever. But, yeah, so it's Game Freak is the one that's working on this one, and we'll see what happens. The starters, rather interesting, because it was just a random assortment of starters. One fire type, one grass type, one water type, obviously, but it's a mixture from different generations. When I saw the starters, which happened to be Cyndaquil, Rowlet, and Oshawott, I thought, well, I was like, maybe you'll be able to choose any starter. It turns out those are the only three you can have. So I was like, wow, that's strange having a Gen 2 Pokemon, Gen 7, and a Gen 5 Pokemon be starters. I mean, it's their game. They can do whatever. But it was rather interesting. In the actual trailer itself, they did show gameplay, battling Pokemon, catching in the wild. I hope that they have more gameplay coming out soon, maybe at E3. But it looked like the actual game engine for this game. It kind of looked like Breath of the Wild. So maybe they use the same engine. It's the same art style. And hopefully they can get that thing polished up because it's not due for release until early of next year. And I mean, I wouldn't blame them if they decide to push it out longer to make sure the game is in tip-top shape. Because in the trailer, though, they could definitely fix this before it actually comes out and release. It looked like in some of the scenes, Pokemon were moving at like half the frames. So like instead of 30 frames per second or 60, I'm assuming it'll be 30. But it was running at half, so 15 frames per second. So it was like you know, jaggedy. Like the movement just wasn't fluid. But like that could easily be fixed. I would understand if it was like a Pokemon in a far distance, but it was actually a Pokemon right up to the actual protagonist. So I thought that was rather strange. It looked like it was 720p, which I'm assuming it'll be like that plus lower because once again, the Switch is not that powerful. And that's what I mean. It looks a little bit pixelated. And then the overworld itself, they only showed one biome, which was grass and mountains and whatnot. Hopefully they include a lot more because there are a lot more biomes in the Sinnoh region. I'm sure there will be, but they just showed this one section. And I'm sure at E3, assuming they have E3, E3 was already kind of dying as is, as companies were doing their own stuff outside of E3 around that time. But I'm sure Nintendo, if there is no E3, will do a treehouse event themselves, doing hours of gameplay of these new titles. I'm assuming they'll do an hour for Diamond and Pearl Remakes. They'll do an hour for the new open world game. And yeah, it's going to be looking good. So I'm just looking through my notes here and check if I missed anything here. I mean, other than the fact that I am looking forward to this game, and yeah, like I said, I want to know more about the story because there really wasn't a whole lot about it. I'm assuming it'll be about Arceus because, you know, it's named after Arceus, but you never know. So it's possible that they may not have an Arceus event. Also, actually, okay, we'll come back to that other thing. But yeah, I don't know if there'll be an Arceus event in the Diamond Pearl remakes. If they're going to be doing it like this, I mean, I guess there's a possibility they could do one because, I mean, there was one with the Azure Flute for Diamond and Pearl and Platinum way back. I think it was a GameStop event. I didn't actually do it because I didn't know about it, but I had an action replay, so I was able to just load in the Azure Flute and do the Arceus event. And I mean, I would say that maybe Diamond and Pearl remakes, I don't know if it'll just be bare, like just a flat remake, nothing new, no more content, like additional content. I feel like that won't be the case. I'm sure they'll add some stuff. But they did show the underground for the Diamond and Pearl remakes, which I was excited for because I'm hoping that it's an online version because when I was growing up, I played Diamond and Pearl, but I didn't have any friends to play Diamond and Pearl with that wanted to do the underground. I had a couple friends in third grade that played Pokemon Diamond and Pearl, but obviously, you know, I didn't really get together with them at all to, you know, play this game in the underground and do all the mini games and stuff. I never really got to do that. All I did was just go down and do the little mining and getting fossils and other rare items by mining. And that was about it. So having an online capable version of that would be really nice because I would actually want to try out some of that stuff. And a lot of people were asking me during my live stream if there was going to be secret bases. And I was like, well, I wouldn't know, but if it was in the original game and we have the underground, then it's probably a good chance that secret bases will be in this game too if it was in Diamond and Pearl. Once again, I didn't really mess around with the underground that much, but if there are secret bases in that, in Diamond and Pearl, I'm assuming it will be in the new ones too. And also they did a little scene where it showed the Wi-Fi club. So that indicates that there is online, or maybe, I guess it could be local play too, but I think they did that on purpose to indicate, or at least show that there's an online for this game as well, which is good, because, I mean, if there's an online to battle and trade, I'm assuming the underground stuff will too, or at least have the ability to do that. That would be amazing. Please do that. I don't even remember the name of the developer. ILCA, I think it was. Whatever. I don't know the developer's name, but please put it in. That would be great because I would like to do some with viewers or just with friends in general. I think that would be fun. But anyways, back to what I was going to say before. So the whole Arceus thing, when I heard Arceus during the live stream, I was like, wow, that's interesting. Because throughout the many years where they actually said the Pokemon's name, I heard Arceus, I've heard Arceus, I've heard Arceus. All these different ways Pokemon Company has actually pronounced it. I wonder if this is like the official pronunciation and that's it. Like that's solid. Like that's what it's going to be. Or maybe down the road, they'll be like, oh, this is Arceus. And then they'll screw it up again. I don't know. We'll see. But it's just rather interesting that I heard Arceus for the pronunciation for that Pokemon. So, okay. Yeah, we did that about 24, 25 minutes. I mean, hey, that's pretty solid. I mean, I think I covered every single thing that I did prior. I probably went through things a little bit faster now that I've actually, you know, doing take two. But it was normally about a half hour. And this is like 25-ish minutes. So, hey, I'm a little more efficient this time around. Let's go. But anyways, it's not a third-gen cast stream if we don't talk about Bitcoin, Ethereum, or any type of crypto. because I'm trying to learn more of this stuff every single week. And it seems like I never fail to learn something new. And first of all, let's just talk update on Bitcoin and Ethereum, because, you know, obviously because I have to talk about it in the third gen cast, it's like tradition at this point. But Bitcoin and Ethereum has tanked, like, as in price. Bitcoin went as high as, I believe, what was it, 57,000? While Ethereum broke 2,000. Anyways, they both went on a massive sell-off. Bitcoin still looks strong when Ethereum is looking like it's going to fall even more. And yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of reasons why that could be happening. Like, for example, both of these cryptocurrencies were growing so fast that at some point it didn't take any time to consolidate or at least establish a support level price or a resistance level and then break out. It just like has just been constantly growing. So it was due to just do a big correction. And I mean, I don't know how far it'll go or if it'll just bounce where it is right now and then just go back up. I mean, you never know with Bitcoin's behavior or Ethereum's behavior, because literally anything can change. All it takes is a tweet from Elon, which, and then the next thing you know, it just soars, or just some other prominent people or institutions buying up Bitcoin. It causes all crypto to go up. It's just honestly insane. But yeah, I would say as of right now, I'd say Ethereum definitely is the one that would be more likely to fall even more. And it's only because there's a lot of things going on with Ethereum right now. For example, transaction fees are really high in Ethereum right now. And the problem with that, okay, so how it works is that when you buy or sell Ethereum or transfer it between one wallet to another wallet, there is a fee that happens when you purchase said, or you purchase, sell, move it, whatever. And anyways, this fee has been going up and up and up apparently, or it was already expensive and people are starting to realize it. I don't know exactly. I'm not 100% sure, but because the transaction fees are high, it is going to be causing people to either want to sell right away, get the heck out, because people are not going to be buying anymore, or it's going to cause people to hold, or people will wait for the dip and buy more, which actually I'm actually kind of thinking about doing that myself, is that if Bitcoin, or if I guess if Ethereum drops a little harder, I'll see why not buying a little more, get a little more Ethereum. And yeah, apparently there is an Ethereum 2.0 coming out next that's supposed to be solving a lot of these issues. Like, for example, the transactions will be faster. It's going to be more reliable. It's going to have lower transaction fees. And also it's coming up, it's going to be introducing a new thing called staking. Now, it's not necessarily new. I guess other cryptocurrencies had it. I actually just learned about this a few days ago. My brother actually sent me, he sent me a few articles and videos on it, but it's called, so staking. Essentially, what it is that you invest your cryptocurrency into a big pool and it creates a block. And then how that works is that when you create a block, transactions and other calculations like to get more Ethereum or Bitcoin or whatever crypto that you have, it puts your block with a bunch of others into the blockchain, and it just acts as another way for it to travel through. And for that, you actually get royalties. I guess you get rewarded for investing your crypto into the blockchain. And it typically ranges from about 5 to 7% per year. So for example, if you put one Ethereum into a pool, then you would get 0.07 Ethereum back, which is like, oh, that's not a big deal. But let's say Ethereum goes up massively. That 0.07 is going to be a lot. Like, for example, if it goes up to 40,000 like Bitcoin is today, that's a lot of money. But also, if you have tons of Ethereum, which if you bought it before a lot of the major surging happened, then you could put a lot into staking. Then you could get more. You could get over Ethereum every single time you get a reward, which is just honestly insane. So I actually was looking into it and I was just like, you know what? Maybe I want to stake my Ethereum, because I mean, the one thing about staking is that if you invest your Ethereum into this pool, or it could be any other crypto, you cannot pull it out for a period of time. But if you're going to hold it for the long term anyways, then it doesn't really matter when you invest this stuff, because honestly, you can get a return on it. It's basically, the best way to describe it is like, let's say you buy a stock that offers a dividend, and every quarter you get a dividend from the stock that, or the stockholder, or it was the stock owner or whatever, the company where you bought the stock from, you get a dividend. And then obviously if you have more of these stocks, you get more dividends. And then at the end of the year, there's like a certain percentage. Anyways, the yields for dividends aren't necessarily as high as the as what's going on with these staking things. And I'm assuming there's other factors too, like if different pools get oversaturated, it affects the rewards. I don't really know a whole lot. I just watched a few videos just to get the basic premise on it. But it just seems like it's really interesting, this whole staking thing. And I don't know, I might want to give it a go and see what happens. I mean, if I can get more Ethereum in the end, it's like, okay, that's really cool. Coinbase is going to be allowing yourself to do that as soon as Ethereum 2.0 comes out. I actually joined a wait list, so I actually could have the opportunity to join in if I decide I'm going to do it. It's not available right now as ETH 2.0 is not there yet, or at least not released. But there is another crypto that I was looking at. Actually, I did buy some. I think I mentioned it in the last podcast as well. But that one, I guess there's pools for staking as well for ADA, aka Cardano. And I don't know. I might want to put a little bit into one of those and see what happens. Because anyways, Cardano is taking off. It is growing while all these other cryptos are falling. It's like it's not connected to Bitcoin as much as these other cryptos are. Like, if, for example, Bitcoin tanks, it seems like all the other cryptos have to tank along with it. Cardano has been rising on its own, which is pretty cool. So if it's more independent and it's not necessarily connected to all these other cryptos, that could be a big deal. And I bought a little bit of ADA, and I actually bought a little more recently, but I bought in some at like 26 cents. As of right now, ADA is about $1.20, maybe $1.30. I don't know. I guess it depends on when this video actually gets uploaded, 1 p.m. tomorrow. I don't know what the price is going to be for ADA. It could tank. Who knows? Maybe there's like a delayed reaction, but it has been growing and I'm excited to see where it goes. If you guys want to know more about Cardano, it is another decentralized currency that's more secure, transparent, and easier to transact and exchange with it. So it's basically another type of Bitcoin, but it's more efficient, faster. And then also I saw there was less transaction fees. So there was an example online. I'm pretty sure it was ADA and Ethereum. And it was like there was 14 billion Ethereum that was being bought and sold. 14 billion, I believe. And the number of transactions, you know, so that many. The price for all the transaction fees, just all together collected for that 14 billion for the movement of Ethereum, was about $14 million. And it's like, okay, well, I mean, whatever. I mean, that's a lot of money. But I mean, compared, it's like, okay, that's 14 billion, 14 million. Yeah, whatever. Who cares? I believe it was Cardano, but it could have been a different one. I'm pretty sure it's Cardano, but the transaction fees for about the same volume was only like $14,000. So that means the transaction fees were far lower than Ethereum was, which that just tells you how bad Ethereum is with their transaction fees. And hopefully Ethereum 2.0 fixes that, but that's just honestly insane how it could be that much cheaper to transact those Cardano or whatever. I'm pretty sure it was Cardano. I don't know. I don't know where. I'd have to find it. I'm not sure where that information's at, but I saw it somewhere. Could it be credible? Could it be false? Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. But I'm not a financial advisor, obviously. So you have to make the decision for yourself. But if you do want to buy crypto, I actually found another good option that's not Coinbase. If you want to buy Cardano, there's another app called Uphold. And I don't know internationally if there's a support for it, but for sure in the US, you can buy Cardano and Polkadot and all these smaller cryptos, as well as Dogecoin if you want to. I mean, I wouldn't do it, but I mean, maybe I might at some point just as a joke. But yeah, you can buy all of these different cryptocurrencies and you won't even have to worry about, well, I mean, there's fees on Coinbase and the fact that you have so many options that Coinbase doesn't have. Like, they still don't have Cardano, even though it's been really hot lately. I'm surprised they don't have it. And it's just, I feel like it's a really good platform. I looked at the reviews for this app and it was rather mixed. Some people really like it, some people really hate it. So obviously, if you do want to buy crypto, you could give it a go and see what it's all about. But at first, I put a little bit of money in just to see how it worked. And yeah, it's very easy to get money in. Another place where you can get Cardano is Kraken, but my bank account wouldn't link up to Kraken. So that was very frustrating, but that was the only way I thought that I could have bought Cardano at the time. So I had to transfer Ethereum from my Coinbase wallet to Kraken, which, by the way, there was a transaction fee and it was rather high, just saying. And I went from there. I converted my Ethereum to Cardano and Polkadot over on Kraken. So I have some on Kraken, but then I bought some on Uphold. And yeah, no, Uphold is definitely easier to use compared to Kraken. So, I mean, the issue that I saw is that people were upset that you can't just constantly buy. Like, you could constantly buy if you want to, but you can't constantly sell. And you can't get the money out as quickly as you, like, as quick as you want. And I was like, well, even if it's a little harder to get the money out, I mean, you shouldn't be the one that should be constantly buying and selling and trying to get money out. That's, if you're going to buy crypto, you should buy it for the long term, not necessarily the short term. I mean, you could, but I think it's beneficial for the long term rather than the short term. But yeah, no, I mean, I've used the app so far. It seems pretty seamless. It's really easy to use. I guess I never tried selling and withdrawing money. But even that, if let's say for some reason that I couldn't withdraw my cash, I can always send my crypto from Upheld to another platform where I can withdraw the money. So I know there's a lot of, like, you can, so each individual app, you get your own wallet, and you can transfer from one wallet to the next wallet. And then that way, if for some reason you can't withdraw your money there, I mean, you just buy it into crypto, transfer it out, and then withdraw it that way. So I mean, it's really not hard. There's many solutions to a lot of these problems that people are complaining about, and they're just not willing to go and look and try to find a solution. But yeah, no, as far as the app, I like it. I mean, if you want to give it a go, give it a try. If you want to buy crypto, I mean, hey, it's really easy to use. And there's always other options to get your money out if for some reason you can't. And I don't know any other options as of right now that where you could buy Cardano and Polkadot very easily. But I definitely feel like this is the app to buy to use as of right now if it's obviously supported in your country. But yeah, because not everyone that's listening to this is from the US, so I'm sure there's different countries where it'll work and some that it doesn't work. I don't know, but it's always worth taking a look at it. And I don't know, from what I've experienced, I've liked it thus far. I mean, I might change my mind in a week or so, but you know, whatever. Okay, so we went through all the main topics. I'm pretty sure I got everything that I talked about before. And I also, before we actually wrap up here, we have a little bit of updates of an update on Wall Street Bets. Yep, Wall Street Bets, round two, GameStop, AMC, the battle has continued. The last couple days, people have been buying into GME, which is GameStop, and AMC Entertainment, and rising the prices up to extraordinary amounts. And as of right now, I think as high as it got for GameStop was like $175, then it started to decline. It's at about $100 now. AMC went as above like $12, and then it kind of went down to like $8. So it went down quite a bit. I actually did buy a little more AMC. I didn't actually buy a whole lot of it, just a little bit, because it's like, okay, whatever happens, happens. The price is very cheap as is, and AMC theaters are going to be opening up very soon, so they're going to be profitable again. So even if the stock just tanks as of right now, it'll probably most likely go back up to the share price of where I bought it initially. So, I mean, it's not the end of the world for me, but for people that are buying GameStop at like $120 a share, it's like, I mean, I guess it could have that valuation at some point. I mean, it's highly unlikely, but a lot of these people just don't care. They just want to stick it to the people in the suits, in these big hedge funds, institutions, and all these other things. And yeah, people just don't care. They just want to stick it to the man, you know? But yeah, I mean, I have a little bit of AMC. If it takes off, great. I made a little bit of money. But if not, it's like, it's not a huge deal. I don't have a whole lot into it. But I don't know. I just want to talk about that real quick because I know GME, AMC, that we talked about that a couple podcasts back. Obviously, we I thought it'd be right to, you know, cover that again. And obviously, I believe I haven't used Robinhood, but I actually switched everything over to Fidelity. Great experience. The interface is nowhere near as nice as Robinhood, but Fidelity is a good app. It does work. I am able to fill my orders, no restrictions whatsoever. But I heard that Robinhood was doing some things where they were actually restricting stocks again. So, yeah, I mean, if people get sick of it, eventually they're going to have to leave. So, I mean, we'll see what happens. But anyways, that is going to be it for this podcast. Thank you so much for watching, everyone. If you guys enjoy, be sure to hit that like button. Be sure to hit that subscribe button if you're new. Hit that bell icon for notifications when I upload if you're on YouTube. If you're on various platforms, be sure to give me 5 stars, a thumbs up, a follow, whatever your platform does. And then be able, whatever you need to do to stay tuned for the next podcast. And if you have any questions, send me an email at thirdgencast@gmail.com. And yeah, I mean, I'll be answering questions in future streams. And also, I definitely want to get some guest stars coming in very soon. Like not guests, like co-hosts, I guess. I don't even know. Whatever. Just guests to come in to talk about various topics. And yeah, we'll see how that goes. And yeah, be sure to look forward to that. And I think we're gonna wrap it up here. I'll see you guys next week. Peace.